Hello, tile friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Tile Money Podcast. My name is Luke Miller, your host, and this is the podcast where we get into all things the business of being a tile contractor. As I like to say, Tile Money is strengthening the tile industry. We are doing this with business education designed for tile contractors by tile contractors. And this is assisting contractors to build sustainable, profitable businesses. This is going to result in a much stronger tile industry from the base up. This is the way it has to be. And this is my vision, and it's my privilege to be your host today. And today we've got another great interview with another great contractor. His name is Mind, and he owns LFT Pro. And you can follow him on Instagram at LFT Pro. I highly recommend you do. You can find him, his website, LFTPro.com. We got into all things large format tile, as you can tell by his name. We also talked about the 10,000 hour rule when it comes to learning. And so I know you're going to really dig today's interview. It's a really good one, a lot of value to unpack. Before I let you listen to it, though, I do want to thank our sponsors of the Tile Money Podcast. I want to thank the National Tile Contractors Association. They are the largest and the oldest association in North America for tile contractors. You know what I always say, if you want, you know, hang around the five people that you want to become, and you will find some of the best contractors within the NTCA, and you will be able to rub shoulders with them and learn from them. So check them out, tile-assn.com, the National Tile Contractors Association. The voice of the tile contractor. I want to thank GoBoard from Johns Manville for sponsoring the Tile Money Podcast. GoBoard is a great company, incredible product. They really take a lot of time to get to know tile contractors, and that is why they're sponsoring this podcast. They do want to hear from you. And if you've never used GoBoard, I'd highly recommend you check it out. A great lightweight foam backer board for all your shower needs. Laticrete International is a sponsor of this podcast. Thank you, Laticrete. Laticrete is a great company, invented Thinset right here in America, an American company, and I stand behind them. They have great family values, and if you've never tried their products, you should check those out for sure. Happy Tile Guy. Happy Tile Guy is the place, the number one place for tile contractors to get affordable tile contractor websites designed for tile contractors by tile contractors. So without further ado, I'll let you get to the podcast interview with Mind. Enjoy, friends. So how long have you been a tile setter? How long have you been working with tile?
We're around 20 years.
20 years now?
Yeah, close to 20 years. Yeah, I don't know how I got into the tile business. It was kind of, you know, out of nowhere.
Really?
I dreamed even about it to be a tile setter. I remember when I was a child, my dad's cousin, he's a tile setter, and he used to do bathroom in our house. And I remember it was kind of fall time, and I was sick. I was sitting at home, and he was working. I was kind of, you know, just sneaking and looking the way he works, and kind of I enjoyed watching it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
because he's a cool guy, and then after that, you know, it's just teenage life and, you know, partying and all that stuff, and then how I got into it, it's like, you know, weird story. I'm originally from Lithuania, and after Soviet Union collapsed, you know, it was not that great in there. It's not a lot of work, and I was young, and I always felt like I'm kind of behind every success in life. You know, it's just like something is start booming, I'm too young, you know, or it comes time to do something, I have no money, you know. So it was kind of difficult. So I decided to move to England, UK, and I just worked as a general laborer at the construction site, and I met tile setters, and they said, do you want to be a helper for us? Because, you know, I was busting my ass over there and working hard, and, you know, my language, like English, was not that great at the time. And, you know, I always trying to talk more with people, you know, so I can learn. And they invited me to work, but they didn't hire me for their company. They said, okay, this is the guy, call him, and he's going to look after you. And it was a big company in England, it's Fleischer, not Fleischer, it's, I'm talking, Fleischer is here in Canada, but it's Moderno Tile. It's a group of Nicholas and Clark, so they're making thinsets and everything else. I don't know if he's still around.
Oh, interesting.
Probably Hudstyle, he would know better if I'm right about him or not. So the guy took me to a police station to work. It was brand new police station, and he put me in a prison cells to work. So I got kind of, I never did epoxy grout in my life. And the police officers were checking like every hour on us. So we grout, right? So it's no sharp edges in on the tile. I said, why worry about it? So because prisoners cut their wrists, you know, so then we start bleeding and then we have to take them to the hospital. We don't want to see them. So just for the safety. So that's how I started. And like, recently, like after 1 month working on that grout, the guy who was in charge of me, he said, do you want to do tile? I said, of course. I said, okay, here's the tile. This is the fin set. That's how it's done. He just spread some mastic glue on the wall, slabbed those 6x6s on the wall and stayed. It's like, that looks easy.
Right.
I took my own, like spread a mortar on the wall, put a tile on, 1 minute, boom, everything's down on the floor. I said, why? I did exactly everything same as you are. Yeah. And, you know, and he's like, you don't have confidence yet. And you know, in time, everything came by, and like after 6 months working like that, those guys who in, like asked me if I want to do tile, they took me in, and literally I start tiling after 1 year myself. And then after another year, I opened my own company in England, and they used to subcontracting me. I had my own crew, and since then I just doing tile. I had a break in my life. Actually, after 10 years, I said, no, I don't want to do it anymore. I can't. You know, it was kind of, I'm done with it. And, but you know, all that rule, 10,000 hours, when you do your 10,000 hours, right, everything changing. Like I never believed in that, but actually it is true. It's like, you know, you just hit that 10,000 hours and next day you're a completely different person and you know what you're doing. You have a lot of confidence and boom, it's going.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of this 10,000 hour, you know, rule of thumb, so to speak. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more for the audience who maybe isn't familiar with it?
It's actually, I got that from my wife.
Okay.
You know, it's like I never thought about that before, you know, but then I start thinking, you know, when it's changed, because she my wife is always reads a lot of books and she likes to read. I might read it something, but I just don't have time.
Right.
I always have all those projects in my head. It's even like, you know, some, I hear it on your podcast, some other guys be like, oh, I already have everything laid out for my job for tomorrow in my head already. So that's, I'm the same person. I do my job day before in my head. So when I come to the job site, I know what I'm doing. And, you know, she mentioned that about athletes, you know, when athletes, you know, when they reach that 10,000 hour goal, they becoming way better at what they do and the skill. And that's what she was saying all the time for our kids. You know, guys, it doesn't come right away. Work, 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 and then you'll see. And it is true. And then I start realizing about those 10,000 hours when I have, when we moved to Canada, like it's, you know, like when you come from somewhere else, it's always those immigration process. So it was difficult. And for me, I was so lucky when I came in Alberta, that's where I'm at, they needed tradespeople. Mm-hmm. And tradespeople usually, like here in Canada, it's like electrician, sprinkler system, oil and gas, and plumber. This is kind of certified trades, you know, license. Everybody else is no, you know, so it means like anyone can do that. And you know, and then we had entire list of the trades we needed because it was booming here. So the tile setter was on the list. So what I did, I got my all hours, what I worked in England from the company, they sent a letter to me. So I submitted to education board. So they approved it and they let me to do my journeyman's red seal exam. And then that's when I realized how many hours I have. When they sent it to me, it was 9,500 hours. That's what I needed. And then, you know, I started kind of calculating how many hours averagely I work a day and how many years. And that's, you know, that's 10,000 hours. And then when it's changing my life, you know, you become different person, you know, like in the beginning, like when all of us, we start, we struggling with a lot of things, even like when you put a tile and something is not level, you don't want to lift it up. You just, it's going to be fine. And right. then, of course, when you have to sign off on the job, customer says, oh, why this tile is so low? You know, it's like you're trying to make it up some stories why, but actually the truth behind it, because you were lazy to lift it right. up, you know, it's like a child, you know, you grow up. That's what it is after 10,000 hours.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good rule of thumb, and it's definitely it's neat to look at. What year was that when you came over to Alberta?
I came to Alberta in 2011 spring.
Okay, so almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
coming up on 10 years.
It's almost 10 years ago. Yeah,
and before that, how long had you been a business owner? And
so I'm business owner like. So 2001, when I moved first time to England, mm-hmm. And then I became a business owner in 2003.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like now LFT Professionals is my company. It's a new company. It's 6 years for this company. And I used it before my old name, but I felt like that name was not right. You know, and like LFT Professionals is more stands for what I exactly do. It's large form of tile professionals. And so I'm in business for a long time. You know, it was bumps and, you know, and high spots in that. But I like to be a business owner because you don't have a boss.
Right.
You are the boss. And, you know, if you don't feel good that day, just call your customer and say, look, I have to take day off today, and you know I don't want to mess it up. Don't want to make any mistakes on the job. And it's just if you explain nicely, then that's what you know. That's what I like about it. You don't have to you know apologize to somebody else.
So Canadians let you call in sick like that?
Oh no, I don't usually call sick. I I go to work, but the biggest problem is here is the employees to find. Good employees, because if you're a good tile sitter, you have your own business.
And interesting.
If you want to hire that good tile sitter, you have to pay him exactly the same what you charge.
Right. Right.
So it doesn't work that way. And some of them are trying to steal your customers. Mm. We work sometimes, like I work with you guys, you know, it's like a battlefield, you know, it's only a few guys who's like, really honest with you, and we want to be your friend. We admire what you do, and you admire what they do. But some of the guys, we just kind of trying to stab you in the back.
Mm.
So I'm trying not to have too many tile setters friends. I have friends in another cities, but not in my own yard.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, it's like because we all do different way. Even in large form of tile business, we do everything different way.
Yeah.
As I see what others do, what kind of mistakes they make. I keep my mouth shut. I don't see anything. Mm-hmm. And because I think it's not kind of professional to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to be like others. Others can say, oh, we're doing this wrong. But I know that when I do things, I research everything and everything is by the code and by my material supplier.
Mm-hmm.
But we can say whatever we want. And I know I'm saying true for my customer and I know I will do it right. And I know it's not going to fail.
Yeah, that's an important part for sure. Tell me a little bit, if we could just back up a little bit. I do want to talk to you about your business structure right now, currently, but let's back up. I don't want to pass this up to, you said you kind of got over to Canada to, you know, Alberta. What a gorgeous area. Kind of because they were, you know, putting it out there. They're looking for tile setters. They're looking for tradesperson. So that actually assisted you in your move, correct?
No. Actually, it was different.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Canada is Canada. So usually when I was a child, imagine Canada, it's mountains, a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Like you fish salmon in rivers.
Right.
Bears, wolves, moose around. That's how I imagine Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a wilderness.
Mm.
So one time came to choose the place where we want to go. So I had experience to live in London, which is millions of people.
Sure.
It's too crowded. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because Lithuania is a small country. Our towns are smaller. I don't really like too crowded. So then, you know, Toronto was not a question. I don't want to go to Toronto. It's
right.
too big. And plus, you know, it's like, it's a lot of Lithuanians down there too. So you don't want to mix up in between of them. You just want to be on your own. So
okay.
I looked at Vancouver, but Vancouver is pretty much like 2 months of gorgeous weather in the summer and then it's raining all the time. Right. And all those clouds above your head, that's what I didn't want it because that's what Lithuania is. It's raining a lot too. So it's kind of, autumn is like, September is nice and then it just got nasty. You know, it's just raining and snow and rain mix. It's kind of gross. So, you know, and then I was thinking maybe, oh, Saskatchewan, it's a lot of lakes. It's nice. And then I kind of did a little bit of research on the Google. It's like, no, it's not a place too. It's like extremely cold in the winter, extremely hot in the summer, a lot of mosquitoes and possibility of tornadoes. Because I see on the news what happens in the US with those tornadoes. I said, no, I want a safety for my family.
Right.
And Calgary was the city because it was in 88 Olympics.
Mm.
And then it's like, Calgary, I should look into it. I looked in Calgary. I found like few Lithuanians because, of course, I needed somebody to find to move here. And I had no relatives. I had no friends in Canada. So I kind of got my paperwork, sit on the plane, flew here, and the guy met me. I saw him first time in my life. He took me in their place. After 1 week, I found my own place to live. And actually, in 3 days, already had work as a tile setter. I used to change tiles at the airport of International Airport of Calgary at nights, you know, and then after a month, my family came by. So it was this choice. And then when I was here already, I contacted my lawyer who helped me to do paperwork. And he said, I have a good news for you. Alberta has tile setters on the list for nomination for permanent residency.
Nice.
So that's how I got it in on that boat. I did my exam. Of course, that was difficult. And I was so frustrated because I failed first time. I failed second time. Mm. And I'm a tile setter. Wow. And but terminology it's being used here in North America compared to England is completely different. So I didn't understand some questions correct. And the main thing, which is going to be funny, it's everything is metric here in Canada, but construction is imperial.
Oh,
in
really?
England, everything is imperial, but construction is metric.
Right.
It's everything millimeters. And it's like, oh my God, inches. And, you know, feet. It's like, I didn't know what it is. You know, it's like, it was so difficult. And on the third time I passed it, of course, I had to go to the office and beg. I said, please let me pass third time. I will pass it, I promise. And then I passed it and I got my my certificate. I got a journeyman and then we got permanent residency right away. So that was kind of lucky. You know, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
yeah, for sure. That's great. I mean, you kept persisting, you know, and made it happen. And that would be a mind. Do you read a tape measure now with millimeters or inches?
Both ways, but majority is imperial. I really like it. For me, it's easier. And for my helper, who's from Ecuador, I bought him a dummy tape. So it shows where it's 1/8, 3/8, 5/8, and all of those because he's don't know. And I have to say, okay, so it's like 7/16, it's half minus one. Mm-hmm. Or 9/16, it's half plus one. You know, that's what he understands. And it took me 2 years until he's got used to it. It was like funny, you know. It's like we have really good relationship with Josh, and we're laughing all the time. And that was, you know, and that's why I call it. I said, Eddie, can I borrow your dummy tape? You know, sometimes, you know, it's like when I don't have my one.
Right.
And I used to use metric too in the beginning, but now it's mostly only imperial.
Mm. It's you find it easier then?
Yeah, I find it easier.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, the heights, you know, and tiles mostly is. Kind of in imperial, of course, porcelain is all metric. And
right.
You have to get used to it to switch. And that's where we get into, you know, with large format tiles, especially with the builders, when the supplier says, oh, it's 4x8, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
And then the sizes of the room is out of whack. You know, I have to build it up usually because it's smaller in size than actually 4x8 or 5x10.
Yeah. Wild. So how is your company structured? I mean, you're choosing to kind of feature this LFT tile. First of all, was that, you know, I mean, that wasn't by accident that you really enjoy this type of tile work, or is there a high demand where you're at for large format tile?
How it happened, I used to work with one supplier in the city. I used to buy all the tiles from them and they brought boulder panels. It's like, I know in the US, I've seen in Arizona, Home Depot sells it. It's a stone veneer panels with aluminum backing.
Yeah.
So that store brought it in and they said, do you want to do it? It's like, because I was working so close with them, I was getting so much work from them. Mm-hmm. And they knew me that I like to be challenged on anything I do, you know? But there was no information how to do it, what kind of tools to use. So I started, you know, I took that risk and was trying to figure out how to do it and all this kind of stuff. And I had a few fails and I stopped doing it for a year. Mm-hmm. And I did very, very big research. And in that time, porcelain tiles came out. The first large format tile job I did was laminum 3.5 millimeter tile, which was crazy thin, but I was so surprised how strong it is.
Right.
If you know how to handle it, then usually handling those tiles is just, you know, it's just in your head. You know, you lift it up. It's not a sheet of plywood, first of all. You know, you can't lift it up like a plywood because wood doesn't break and tile will. So you lift an angle and, you know, trying not to move, you know, too much. And of course, your helper who works with you has to be smart too, you know. So you lift up on the same side, you know, so it doesn't, you don't feel that kind of break in the half. So, you know, and then little by little, I start researching and that year, you know, when I kind of took a break and, you know, I bumped into Raimondi Tools and it was nothing to buy here. You can order. And it was few companies who tried to sell it, but it was not popular, this large format tile. And then like little by little, I got into it. I bought, you know, all my set of tools and then start doing large format tile. And of course, in the beginning, you lie to the customer. Oh, yes, I did a lot. You know, that's what you say.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just kind of, it takes longer, you know, until you do it and that's it. You know, it's like little by little, then I got into it. And every day you do something, you learn from your mistakes. And of course, in the beginning, I used to ask customer to buy extra tile, like one extra sheet. So, you know, just in case if something breaks, you know, it's covered.
Yeah.
And it was fine. You know, they were willing to pay that because people who buy this tile, they have money.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not for every house. You know, it's like, so I kind of made it. I had a few fails and I learned from those mistakes, you know, and I fixed it and customers were understanding because it was mostly builders. Mm-hmm. And with some of them where I had a good relationship with, you know, I explained, I said, look, I didn't do a lot of it and it might fail.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you know from experience, even from smaller size tile, when you have that 90 degree corner cut, sometimes it cracks.
Right.
And because of the stress.
Yeah.
So, you know, and in this case, like little by little, we kind of get through it. And now we don't have to order extra tile. I charge enough. If I have to supply another tile, I supply. So customer trust me and they don't worry about it. You know, they say, okay, I trust you. You do it, you know, and it's enough money to cover the cost of extra sheet if I have to buy it.
Yeah, yeah. When you said, you know, when you're first getting into something like this, you know, like LFT, I mean, first of all, you had hit those more than those 10,000 hours working with a trowel, working with tile. And it goes back to what your original, you know, teacher, the guy who, you know, when that tile fell off the wall, the first thing he said is, you said, why did it fall off the wall? He said, well, confidence, you lack confidence. Yeah. So after those 10,000 hours, I mean, you build your confidence, even though maybe you've never touched a 5 by 10 foot, you know, thin porcelain, large format tile, or whatever the case is, guess what? Very few people did and have even to this day. We're still in 2020. Yeah. People, it's still, you know, gaining traction. And so it is the brave ones with confidence that are going to go out there and get this. And it kind of sounds like you almost, you know, you tooled up and you were willing to, you know, take on a couple small jobs, but you were kind of did you push it and kind of bring this to your client's attention? Like, hey, I can do this. I mean, how do you go about creating a demand for this product?
So usually, you know, after like 5 jobs I did, I know what the beast it is.
Right.
And a large format tile is exactly the same tile as 1 foot by 1 foot. It's exactly the same thing. It's just a bigger scale.
Right.
So when you mix mortar, you mix mortar, you know, made for it, so it doesn't hit in the bucket too quick and you know, you have enough mortar to apply. So it's all the knowledge in your head. And you know, so when I came to the customer and we say, oh, I would like this style, I said, okay, what's your budget? Oh, we don't have budget. We want to make it nice and good. Okay, I said, I can suggest something for you. Yeah, sure. This is a large format tile. That's what I did it. How do you like it? I love it. I said, do you want to do it? Let's try. So some people, you know, be kind of willing to risk it. Some others, no. And you, in this like time, you know, like in 20 years, I learn read people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like all those little things, it's like before you even meet the customer, when you get to the job site, you see the neighborhood where he lives, you see his house, you see even his landscape, how it looks like and what kind of car he drives. Mm-hmm. And then you bring those questions, you know, about a product. Sometimes I get a phone call and people say, oh, I want to do large format tile. And, you come to the place and all those little factors like car, landscaping, house, neighborhood, it doesn't match to the large format tile. And you get inside and you see he wants to do only one bathroom in large format tile, which is going to be wow, but everything else in the house, no. And you start talking him down a bit. It's like, it's not worth it to spend this type of money if you don't, your house doesn't match.
You're not committed.
You know, yeah. It's like, yeah, let's do this. It's going to be better because you just like sometimes some people just want to show off, maybe, you know, just, that's what I have. But you know, it doesn't make sense in general to do it, you know, and like, or you give a suggestion, something else, you know, it's like, okay, let's do this. It's going to be better for this type of room. Because sometimes what it is, it's like we have a big niche and you can't just cut square niche in a big, large format tile because it's going to break.
Yeah.
The thing is, I can cut it, I can miter it on the table, but how I'm going to lift it up? It's no way you can lift it up because tile is too heavy to lift it up in one piece.
Yeah.
So you kind of trying to talk them out and, you know, it's no room to do it. And then, you know, some people is okay with that. And, or you come to another job site, which is super fancy and he's got 12 by 24. And I say, why have 12 by 24? Like when you have such a big space and we can do something spectacular. Mm-hmm. And, then again, talk and people kind of getting convinced and I say, yeah, let's do it. So.
So you're kind of, you know, you're getting paid. Your job as the business owner is to direct these people. They don't know that much about tile. I mean, they might've seen a picture and they're like, that's what I want, but is it really what they want? Is it really what's best for their house and best for their lifestyle, so to speak? And can they afford it? First of all, you know, that budget question was one of the first questions you brought up. And I think that's something that's missing in a lot of tile contractors' conversations. So it's good advice.
And another thing, let's say it's, of course, some people really want to have something like that.
Sure.
And you see that, you know, he's really want it. So then you're trying to find a way, make it possible. I never trying to save money on prep work. Never.
Right.
Because bad prep work is the recipe for fail.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how beautiful your work is, it's going to fail. So never save on that. So what I do, a lot of times actually I do, you know, I might would be richer if I wouldn't do that. I give discounts for the customer on a product because here in Canada, retail price is one thing, contractor price is another thing. And like in some stores, we get 40% off,
oh, wow,
which is a huge discount,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So what I do, I tell to customers, I say, look, I get discount. I'm not a tile store. I don't have to make money on tile. I'm not selling tile. It's not my business. I said, I will give you a discount on tile. So this is my price for the labor. Mm-hmm. And I have to charge you for deliver this product on site.
Yeah.
And then they feel that I want to be part of their project and I understand where they are. And this way it helps me to close the deal with them because I'm honest.
Yeah.
And I'm maybe other contractors going to be, you know, mad at me, I say that, but at the end of the day, it's not our business to sell tile. Our business, tile setters, is to install tile. So better we do our work with a higher price, we make money, and we leave that for the customer, that extra, because I understand store gives you 40% off because you can give something to your customer. Mm-hmm. You know, because usually when customer come to the store and buy tile with that 40% markup retail price, they don't want to pay a lot of now for the contractor because they already spent fortune on tile.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because average like bathroom renovation here costs like plumbing, demo, tile installation, it's about $20,000. Mm-hmm. That's what it costs, like all in.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can save for the customer something on tile, but you can make more installation, it's still going to be $20,000.
Right.
Yeah. That maybe $1,000 extra is going to be back to your pocket.
Right. Right.
That's how I see, because when customer thinks, oh, I saved money here, so that I will get good service from this guy.
You know,
that's how I see, you know, in this case, I always want to give for the customer. I listened to those podcasts about, you know, you had with those guys who's really expensive, you know, like I can say I'm expensive too. Mm. And if customer, like we have a lot of contractors who makes big bucks on the renovations and they're so cheap. And I say to the guy, I said, look, if you can't afford me, why are you calling me? I know you know my work. You know I'm good. You know it's going to be flawless.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So why are you calling me if you can't afford me? I said, this is my price. Because first of all, you called me.
Right.
And you asking for my services. I didn't call you and I didn't ask for work.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, and then we find a way, you know, of course, a lot of negotiations happens in the long run, but that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good to acknowledge that negotiations do happen. I love that saying, I didn't call you and I didn't ask for work. I love that because so many contractors, you know, they just want a deal, you know, and they're out shopping for new tile contractors, for subcontractors. And, you know, they're looking to replace their old contractor for a reason, but they still want the same deal. They think it should be the same price. It's just like, I didn't call you. You called me looking for a new tile contractor, and these are my prices.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and it's like, and we have a lot of bad contractors. You know,
really?
it's like I see work and I get phone calls and we talk, you know, in between with some, you know, tile sellers, as I mentioned, I have friends,
and
we always see things, you know, like I have a friend, it's a, Chris Surfaces, he's on Instagram too, and he's from Edmonton. Mm. And we work together a lot. Like, I think I started first large format tile, then he joined me. He helped me to do a few projects here in Calgary. Like, we good friends.
Yeah.
And I went down there to help him out. And he said, I bid it. It's like normal price. And I said, I was under, like, people come in and they charge, like, his work would be like $12,000 and somebody else comes and do it for $3,500 large format tile.
Wow.
And then that contractor who bid it, we call him and say, hey, I have a fireplace to do. You want to come and do it? He said, where's the job? It's here. It's like, I said, I bid it and it's like $12,000. He said, so you want to say we underbid it? He said, yeah, I want to say you underbid it.
Yeah.
Because some people, like, they bid and they don't know how to do it.
They bid for, right. Yeah.
No, they just bid to get a job.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And, you know, it's like, it's sometimes it's so sad when people does that, you know, and they don't even have ability to do the job. And a lot of granite companies trying to do that. And like, I closed the deal last week with one builder here in Calgary. He called me and said, oh yeah, like our granite shop would do it. And they would try to do the best, but they have to bring a tile setter to mix mortar for them. I said, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, I said, granite shop, how granite is installed? PL and silicone most of the time. They even don't know how to mix Vincent. This is the most important thing on it. And I said, did they suggest you to put a cement board or dent shield or something on that plywood on the fireplace? No. I said, you can't install on the plywood. It's going to fall.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going to hold. It's all your miter's going to crack and all this kind of stuff because wood is moving, especially here in Alberta.
Yeah.
Winters is so dry.
Right.
You see the gaps that separate on the hardwood because it's so dry, everything shrinks. And in summer, everything expands because it's so humid.
Yeah.
It's
like, you got to have
it's a different place in the world. You know, you can't do that.
So what percentage of your work is coming from general contractors or builders and what percentage directly to the homeowner?
You know, it's like, I would say 25, 25, 25, 25.
Okay.
And
even split.
It's like I have builders I work with.
Yeah.
And I have builders I quote jobs for them, but I never get, but then they recommend me some for other builders.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me.
Sure.
You know, like I know sometimes their budget doesn't allow to hire me.
Yeah.
You know, because they bid to build a house way before Tausers comes in and they have their budget. And what I do when I come to bid those jobs, I say, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. Why do you include this, 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 and this? And then they kind of, if they're going to hire me, they have to do all that stuff. So they, to eliminate that problem, they sort of eliminate me and they take somebody else who don't complain about those stuff. And then they do that job and, still warranties and maybe they go and fix stuff after. And a lot of times it lasts until warranty lasts. And then after 5 years, everything starts falling apart, but the owner then does the renovation. Yeah. That's how it works. So, and then I get some jobs through Instagram. I get some jobs from the past clients. Like, somebody hired me. Let's say they saw my ad on house. They hire me. And then I do good. And then they recommend for somebody else, for their friends. That's how it works. And a little bit website, Google for me didn't work yet. Like, when I did my website, I didn't set up my SEO properly. I'm still working on it, but I just have no time.
Yeah.
Instagram, for me, it's the best website. I call it my website because you post your pictures and everything is there. That's it.
Yeah.
The website is always a lot of work. You have to write an article about it and, adjust those pictures a little bit so it looks nice and presentable. On Instagram, you don't care. It's a nice shot. Boom. That's it. And it's there and people just pressing hearts for you. That's what I want. I want to be loved.
Yeah, for sure. Who doesn't want to be loved? Well, let us know over at Happy Tile Guy if we can help you with your website. I know it's a pain to do it yourself, and I can send you some info. And I was going to share your Instagram page. If people listening are not following you, you should really go check out its Instagram page. It is beautiful, and I can tell though that you're taking some time when you're taking these photos. To get, quality lighting just right and things of that nature. I mean, it looks really good.
Yeah. This is actually my own house.
Oh, is this your house?
Yeah. All those crazy things I can do only at home.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Is this sink? Because I like the way you talked about it. I'm not sure if you said it was in your house, but you made it sound like, it was a custom request, which obviously it was. That's true.
Yeah. So how it happened, I came to a porcelain also store. And they have a sink like this.
Yeah.
It's just a round bowl, not square. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it and I said, guys, can I get a deal? Because it's $6,500, that sink.
Wow.
I'm not going to pay for a piece of metal with a little bit of marble on it, $6,500, because it's just crazy too much. So we went down to $4,700. I said, no, it's still too much. And I took pictures and I showed my friend, he's a blacksmith.
Yeah.
And I said, can you do it? He said, sure. He said, not a problem. Hmm. So we did out of aluminum. And then I did in that same bathroom, I had this, it's a porcelain, also e-wood porcelain slabs, which looks like wood and the texture and everything. It's just great stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I had leftover and I did it, on the sink. So it all matches with interior.
Yeah.
What we have in it, so
yeah, it's a gorgeous sink. Have you sold any? Have you sold any yet?
I was not thinking to sell it.
Oh, really?
I did it for myself. If somebody who sees it wants it, I can make it.
Sure,
it's so pricey. I know why it cost $6,000 because for me, my blacksmith cost me $2,000 on that sink with powder coating, metal, and work.
Yeah,
and then I water jetted this tile. And it's another $100 because I can't cut it this much. Like this particular badge of this porcelain tile was just exploding when you're cutting it. So, I was kind of scared to cut it myself. So I took to water jet. I might can do it now on a new badge. I did one job recently. It's on Instagram where I have to cut doorways off to get with those big slabs. And that one I can cut. I feel confident on that one. But
right.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I... That's what I told you about challenge. That's what I like. It's challenge.
Yeah.
The final result is like, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you have some challenging jobs on this, on your Instagram page. If you guys aren't following him at LFT Pro on Instagram, make sure to follow mine. This fireplace was a trip. I was looking at this fireplace and the reflection was just as great as the TV. But then this shower is just gorgeous.
Yes, actually, with the same tile, I did even exterior. I had to remove exterior pictures from because customer kind of was complaining. He let me in the beginning, and then he said, no, can you please take it off? I don't want to show my location.
Oh.
I did in the same tile, 2,000 square feet on exterior wall. So it's all book matched. And it was challenging because here is, you know, the weather. Like we have Chinook, which is, I don't know, you familiar with Chinook wind?
No.
So Chinook wind is, it's like it's a warm weather stream from Pacific Ocean through the mountains. And it could be like minus 20 in the morning. In the afternoon, it's going to be plus 10.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then it's going to cool off again at night. So it's very quick temperature change in weather. And like you see that arch above in the sky. So like you see that cloud arch and it's a clear sky above the mountains. So that warm weather from Pacific Ocean gets to prairies. Mm. And it gets so warm. It's like literally you can walk in a t-shirt. You know, it's like it was minus 20 in the morning and boom, it's like spring.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I did a lot of research how to do it properly because ventilated facade would be the best way to do large format tile, but we don't have a lot of systems here. Mm. It's like I'm trying to find, I found the manufacturers in Europe, but it's so hard to bring it here and get all those certifications and everything. It's just, it's a lot of work. I would like to do it. Like I really enjoy doing it exterior, and with ventilated facades would be, you know, any weather you can do it. Mm. So that wouldn't be a problem. And so I came up with my own recipe. I talked with Artex technical rep, like a couple hours on the phone. And I said, what I'm going to do. Of course, it's no warranty because here in Alberta, when you install tile on exterior on the wood, no warranty. Mm-hmm. So even like I don't install directly on the wood. So we applied, we primed the plywood on the walls like OSB. Then we apply thinset. We put cement board. We put screws with washers. Then we waterproof three coats of 8+9 over top the surface. This is my house too.
Oh, this is your house too? So you clad you clad your house.
I put porcelain on it. So it looks like a glass and people say, oh, can I touch it? It's like, it's changed now. I built a porch and it's like, it was my summer project in the free time. So
yeah, this job came out amazing. Just beautiful.
It's like, you know, I'm really happy with it too, how it's turned out. It's like, and I want to showcase more because people be afraid to use, you know, tile on exterior, but and what I say, if it's done right, it's never gonna fail.
Right.
You know, if you're gonna save money on this kind of thing, it's just, of course, it's not gonna last. You know, if people just gonna, you know, dots on the back and just slap it,
right,
the moisture and everything gets behind it, of course, it's gonna fall.
Yeah.
And the freeze and thaw cycle does all of it.
Yeah.
You know, for it. You know.
Right.
So yeah, if it's installed right, it's good, and of course, good thinset. You know, good thinset is the key of any installation on exterior.
Yeah. 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 Good thinset, good coverage, you know, all those good things.
100%.
Yeah. And you put it on your house. So, you know, that shows your confidence. I mean, you're going to find out, you know, but it will last. I mean, you're 100% right. You know, it's all in the prep work.
Yeah. When you got all those corners, like 90 degrees corners, split a tile.
Yeah.
Don't make out of yourself a hero, you know. I can crack this, you know, corner, it's gonna crack. It's gonna crack, you know. Interior is different thing. You can, you know, you can make it, but you have to round that kind of tiny corner. You have to round it so you take the stress off.
Absolutely. So,
you know, it's better tell customer in advance what problems could be, and then say, I will split it. You're not going to see that grout line because everything's going to match and run nice and straight. You'll be happy. So that's what happens.
Yeah. So it's good though that Instagram's working out good for you, that you're getting quite a few leads for new work, new contracts.
I don't have too many followers. I'd like to have more.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know,
well, you're out. Yeah. I mean, above 3,000.
Yes. Yeah.
And then do you send people there too? Just, you know, it's nice because you can just send people, follow me on Instagram. I mean, everybody's on Instagram.
You know, so even like people, maybe they don't follow, but I say, you can see my work on Instagram because it's the easiest platform because everybody's today is on Instagram.
Right.
And they can see it. Of course, I mean, another thing, I will show quickly if it's going to be visible. This is the, like a catalog. It's 10, it's just, because everything is opposite. So what I did is all my works in a book.
Yeah.
You know, and I bring that book with me to the customer. And while we talk, we can just see my work in it.
Yeah.
And it's the app, like actually I found this app on Instagram. It's a chat books.
Mm-hmm.
It's not expensive.
Yeah.
It's made in US and they did it so quick. I put all the pictures in. If you want to put a comments on it, you can put a comments and be printed in. And I got it in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So yeah. It's quick shipping. And it's like in US, it's even faster.
Yeah. 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 I like the book idea. I like it a lot. I've actually heard about, using this book when you sell, like you bring it to your job. Some contractors will actually put the price, the price of maybe a really nice shower, a really expensive shower, and then maybe a moderate shower. And then maybe like, this is your basic shower. This is what this much money gets you. And then, you tease them a little bit.
No, I don't do that. No. I tell you why. It's like when you put a price, you can scare a person right away.
Yeah. Okay.
What I say, every project is unique and special.
Yeah.
And I say, your project is special and it's going to be like, I say how it's going to look like. And you can't put a same price tag on exactly the same one, because sometimes you run into the problem and they're going to say, oh, but the help one, it looks exactly the same, but right. My one is more money.
That's right.
I work with one company. They used to advertise in a magazine, like in the newspaper. It's like a basic, medium, and luxury.
Right.
And with those prices. And of course, they were getting a lot of work.
Yeah.
But the materials they supply, it's so cheap. It's one thing in the newspaper and another thing in reality.
Right.
I did a few bathrooms for him and said, no, thank you. I don't want to do
that. Kind of like the picture of a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah.
One thing in the picture. Complete another thing in reality. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All those commercials, food, Wendy's, A&W, McDonald's, those burgers are so juicy and nice, but when you get it, it's so tiny and dry.
Yeah. So how do you convey the value to your customer though? A lot of tile contractors really do struggle with this, is saying, look, I am going to get you to where you want. I am going to do the most beautiful bathroom for you. I am going to get you your every desire here. It's hard to convey that. And we're talking about a couple different things here. We're talking about, pictures, some sales tactics, maybe not such great sales tactics that people like McDonald's use, and some tile companies, and everybody has to choose for themselves. But if you're going to be the artisan, craftsman with an apprentice, how do you sell your value so that you can command a good amount? What kind of help?
My key is when I come and talk with a customer, first thing, sometimes you have that zing, with a customer, like you kind of relate.
Yeah.
You have to be likable, it's like you have to be nice, polite, you have to respect their property, when you come to talk with them, and you cannot, show out of yourself like, oh, I'm God, no, it's like you, at that point, he's your future boss because he's going to be paying your wages, so you have to be nice. And you have to become a friend in the first place. And then you talk. You talk not only about a tile. You have to talk about what happens, around you, in the world, like how we cope with, at this point, with COVID-19, how we feel about it. But you have those kind of questions, so you don't say something against it. Like probably like in US for you guys, like if you talk about a president, you can get kicked out of the house very quick.
Right.
So you have to be careful in this place. And in this position, you have to be like a weasel. Mm. You have to, change it to the subject what they like. It doesn't. Yeah. Nobody cares what you like or not. You can bring your opinion to them. That's solid. So that's all you do. And when you talk with them, and you always listen what your customers say. Mm. I know some other guys, what they do when they come to the job site and stuff, five bathrooms. So whatever he sees is just $2.
Right.
It's his eyes. I will make money. But you don't know what the budget is, nothing. So it's always like, you have to learn about your customer while you're talking, and then give them suggestions.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, people, they don't know what they want unless they have a designer. When they have a designer, they don't care because designer service costs a lot of money.
Right.
So, then you deal with designer. You talk with designer. And in this case, when you talk with designer, you don't bring anything up they don't care about your idea, because like originally I finished art school and I became an interior designer. This is my training.
Oh, really?
But I never been one.
Oh.
Because like, I loved to draw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I got an art school and I became a designer and florist, but it's nothing related to what I do now.
Right.
But it helped me because I have a good visualization in my head. I can see every project I do. I can walk into that bathroom. I can see how it's going to look like. And, you know, so with the designer, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Because designer, he knows what he's doing. Even if you know he's don't know, but you have to agree with that. And sure. Okay, this is people hired him. That's what we're going to do. Because I got one lesson in my experience. I started working with one guy just right when I came to Canada. I worked for Fleischer 6 months, and that's it. Fleischer Marble and Tile, it's a big company. We had that airport contract, but I can't work for somebody where, you know, you just kind of like a helper. Mm-hmm. I hated that.
Yeah.
So I started my own business. I got a job as a subcontractor with another tile setter, and I came in to do the job, and I got a house for myself, entire house. So nobody from his company was working in there. And of course, customer came in and I started talking and introduced myself. And I said, you know, I think you should do this. Mm-hmm. And they didn't say anything. And then I get a phone call after 2 hours. And the guy, you know, who hired me says, okay, mind. So you're going to do this for free, that what you suggested to the customer, because nobody asked your opinion.
Right.
So from then, I stopped doing that. Because, you know, if they settle on something, they quoted the job and this is extra. Nobody right. wants to pay extra.
Right.
You know, customer, of course, would be happy if I will do it. And then I did it because I'm a man of my word. I said it's going to look better. I did it and everybody was happy at the end, but I didn't get paid for it. But who cares?
Right.
It was my fault. And that's another thing, what it is, you know. So yeah. It's all these things, lessons and mistakes, and that's what keeps us going.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got to learn. So you do work with designers today, right?
I do.
From time to time. Is that tough? Is that tough?
Favorite ones.
Yeah.
And I have designers I don't like, but I work.
Yeah, you keep working with them. Is that tough for you, especially with that background and your skill, you know? That's got to be tough at times to, you know, bite your tongue, so to speak.
It is, you know, because a lot of times you have real designers and you have a housewife designers, you know,
right.
rich husband, and she decides to become a designer.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's like, but some of them is great.
Yeah.
Like it's be down to earth and, you know, you can talk and, you know, make jokes and, you know, everything works out good. And some of them, we don't know a lot about a large form of tile and you explain the sequence of everything that has to be done, and they say, yeah, I can see now, and they go with it. And
okay.
Other designers they just love large format tile and they want to do large format tile. And some other designers, they say, oh, I have bad experience with it, I don't want to even see it on my jobs. Mm. You know, so that's what I said. You know, some customers, you know, like you have to be like a weasel, you know, you kind of becoming more like him, whatever they like, and you just agree with it. So if you want to close the job, or sometimes you come in and it doesn't make sense why we want to do it, so you just jack your price up and you hoping you're not going to get a job.
Right, right.
It's same with designers. But, you know, where designers is involved is always good money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I found as well. It's worth the money to, to basically just do, you know, shut up and do what they want you to do. And just charge enough.
You do your thing. If something doesn't like customer on the details, it's not your fault.
Right. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Talk with your designer. I did it when he asked me to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then the designer comes and, can you change it? Can you do it differently? How are you going to do it? I say this, and it's going to be extra money. And we say, okay, let's do it. And I get paid. So.
Nice. That's great, man. I love it. It's a good attitude. So what are the biggest struggles that you're having with your company right now? Anything particular?
Employees. It's the biggest one is employees. I know it's like, I remember I was listening to Hut Style podcast with Ken, and but that's what he says. Kids don't want to do it.
Mm.
And this is true. You know, it's like, I think when we'll be 70, we're still going to be tiling.
What?
You know,
yeah.
That's the problem. Tile will never go away.
Right.
And, you know, it's hopefully. Like... we got those, you know, plastic coverings, you know, in the showers, but it's not the solution. It needs to be replaced all the time. And I'd like more young kids to get into it, but everybody wants big buck right away.
Mm.
And it's tough. So I had so many times in my career opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
But you just kind of trying to grow, you hire a few new guys and then you see the useless, you're letting them go. And then you that's it. You get to the point zero again, and then you kind of pull the handbrake and you slow down, and then you go steady.
Yeah.
At this point, I'd like to grow my company big. You know, like as every tile setter dreams not to tile, but be in this business, because that's what we know, what we like, that's what we do for the living. And we understand it probably like, first to me, I like to talk. I'd like to go and talk with customers better than be on tools all the time.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's impossible. And I have to do it, you know, and it's like, that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
I have enough work, you know. I'm not like other guys, you know, booked until end of the next year. I can be if I want to, but what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know, to have a job next year summer, but you know, maybe a meteor gonna fall on Earth and it's gone. So I don't plan that far.
Yeah.
I know I'm busy until Christmas and I have plenty of work. I have a lot of loose ends to finish and other jobs because delays and you know and things not ready. And then, you know, you kind of like too much in one file and then you're just trying to finish those jobs.
Yeah.
And also it's kind of a little bit stressful, but, and then, you know, you just kind of take a deep breath and say, ah, I will be done when I will have time. You know, you call customers, say, look, I can't this time. I will come back. And it's like, it just a little things, and, you know, that those things happen. So it's like, nobody's perfect. You know, it's like, it's no perfect company, even like probably in US and here, you know, you always have something happening.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, and next year I have a big job, like going to another province to do for another guy. And it's like, it's a big, large format tile job. And it's just like, I'm scared of it because my helper who works with me, be expecting baby soon. So he's going to take off. I'm going to be on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, I had another guy, he said like, oh, dust is not good for me. So he quit working, you know, and like he spent entire year investing in him and training him.
Right.
And then he decides not to work in construction anymore. It's like, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, like I was thinking maybe to team up with somebody, you know, another tile setter and just, but then how are you going to split profits and everything else? Always somebody's not going to be happy. So he's going to say, oh, I did harder work and I did this, I did that. And it's just, it is hard. It's like, as long as it pays my bills, I can make money, I can support my helper, and that's what I care at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll see, you know, when all this pandemic's going to change, what's going to change, you know? And it's like, at this point, we just adapt it to what it is. And,
right. Yeah.
You know, trying to save, to stay safe, and, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, that's about all we can do right now is ride it out, right?
Yeah.
I did interview Aunt Primo. You probably follow Aunt Primo on Instagram, at Primo Tiles, I think it is. And he has a partner that might be an interesting one. And I'm not sure if that podcast came out yet, maybe next week or the week after, but he has a partner. And what he did is he found somebody that had, you know, a little bit different strengths than he did. In other words, he really wanted to focus on the business and growing it. And the partner had, maybe some more, you know, he really enjoyed being in the field and doing commercial work and stuff like this. So, you know, that would be my advice, you know, for anybody looking for maybe a partner, because I've had those same thoughts like, oh, do you partner up with somebody, but then where are the profits, you know? And like you mentioned, you know, if they're worth their money, they're worth their money. And so you have to pay them. But if you can find somebody that kind of excels where you kind of fall short, that would be the best fit for partners. That's all I'll say about that. But that's a tricky situation.
This is a very tricky situation. It's like marriage.
Right, you know? Right.
It is tricky when it's divorce. No, if it doesn't work out, it's divorce. So no.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it is hard. I better... My philosophy is to get a completely green guy and train the way you work.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get somebody else's helper, they don't work as you want them to.
Right.
You know, they don't mix pinset properly. Like my biggest issue with my helpers is mixing pinset, which is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
You know, like in the beginning when I started my career, I liked a little bit more heavy. You know, it's like, you know, stiffer or like more soupy.
Yeah.
But this is not the way to mix Vincent. You have to follow what it says on the bag.
Right.
And, you know, I know Laticrete, it sponsors you. Actually, I got two bags of that Max Light or whatever it's their product.
Yeah.
So I got a few bags to try. And I didn't try it yet, but I'm an Ardex guy.
Right.
I'm a big time Ardex guy because with a large form of tile, the most important thing is mixing time. Ardex, it's 3 minutes to mix and no remixing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So that's, and it's so important. I did last year a massive job. It's 3,500 square feet of large format tile floor. It's a large format. It's 4 feet by 4 feet, thin panel.
Yeah.
For entire house. And we did with Schluter all set. To mix one bag, it's 20 minutes, which is a lot of time.
Yeah.
A day, we have 10 hours. So you mixing, you know, it's like 200 minutes. It's 3 hours. It's just the mixing of Vincent.
Right, right, right.
So, and the Ardex, it's only 3 minutes. So it's way more Vincent we can mix. You know, it's always you wait for that. And it is great Vincent, but it's just not for the big jobs and not large format tile. Because with large format tile, you're applying mortar on the back of a tile and you're applying mortar on the floor.
Yeah.
And you don't want to skim coat because otherwise it's not going to bond. So that's things, you know. That's why I'm angry at my helpers when they don't mix properly. I hear drill, you know, screaming. So I set the time. And it comes with a bucket to say, go back. Why? It's only 2.5 minutes. You go back with that bucket and remixing. So,
well, you think they'd learn that lesson pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. They learned. And actually, it took a month.
Yeah.
They learned.
Yeah. And now, so
all the time is the same thin set.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what you need. It's consistency, right? Yeah.
Well, you know what? I did a few times when they mix and it's really stiff. So I don't send them to remix and I say, okay, spread on the floor. Mm. You know, when you get that big pile, you have to apply a lot of force to spread it out. I said, how does it feel? It is hard. I said, yeah. So scrape it off, go mix a new one.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
spend some time with them.
So be learning hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, mine, I really appreciate this interview. I mean, we talked about a lot of good stuff, you know, getting to know people, selling, you know, people buy from people. And you really expressed that well when you said, well, look, we just get to know each other. We, you know, we try to be, I look for things that I connect with people, right? You know, I look at the house they're living in and their lifestyle to see if we're maybe a good fit, you know, that tips you off. And so much other good stuff in there too. I know people are going to really enjoy this, mine. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. You know, I was really nervous in the beginning. Like on TV, you know, everybody's watching you. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's really like, I really appreciate having me here. You know, if you have any questions in the future, want me to have it, yeah, you're welcome all the time. You know, it's like, another thing what I want to do, I want to train a little bit people on a large format tile.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of hacks around who don't know what we're doing.
Right.
We can go large formats with a grinder and we don't want to invest in tools. So it's no way.
Right.
You know.
Oh yeah, that's miserable. My goodness.
Yeah. I'm fighting for the tile, for the large format tile, because I had a lot of times when contractor gets in, he does it wrong and the builder don't want to use it anymore.
Right.
But that builder builds luxury homes and they could use in every single one.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I'm kind of ambassador for the large format tile.
Well, that's what we need. I mean, this is the danger of these products. I mean, even, you know, 1 foot by 1 foot tiles, you know, the danger is that there's too many failures out there. And in the US, it sounds like in Canada too, where you're at all over the world, we're seeing people just install tile incorrectly. And obviously this has been going on for years, but the danger is when you said earlier in the podcast, you said like tile will be here forever. And I kind of, you know, I was kind of like, well, hopefully, you know, because the truth of the matter is people always want quicker, cheaper, faster. And then in a lot of cases, it's not about the money. It's just, well, we want reliability. And so when a company comes in and says, well, our plastic is reliable and it only takes an hour, but it does cost. I mean, sometimes these companies are charging quite a bit for plastic bathtubs and showers. And so we do want to, you know, like you say, be the ambassador for LFT or mosaics or whatever type of tile you're working in, because it is a trade that that we need. And I think that is the key too to our employees, you know, lack of employees is really, you know, setting that standard a little higher, you know, showcasing it. That's why I really enjoy Instagram, seeing, you know, guys like you who are putting out this quality work, and also your personality. You know, you're letting your personality shine through on, you know, some of your posts, you know, very personal life stuff, you know, like your motorcycles. And, and so your clients find you, the youth find you, and they say, hey, I can connect with Mind. You know, I kind of feel, you know, I dig motorcycles too. Yeah. Maybe I should call up Mind and, you know, see if he has an opportunity for me, or if they've been following you for a while and you put an opportunity out there for them. I mean, I think this is the way, this is the only way to the future. You know, we just have to try to connect with people. I mean, people buy from people, people want to work with people and get to know you. So it's a great thing.
Yeah. And I get a lot actually inquiries, like just to other guys from US, from Australia. Mm-hmm. Asking about how to do, you know, large format. I always reply, always letting them know about the tools, and, you know, I always give my opinion. So if anyone have any questions,
yeah,
you can always shoot me text message, you know, on Instagram. I will always reply.
Yeah,
you know, it's like we all together in this mud, so we should be muddy friends.
That's it.
Like, you know, it's, that's our life. You know, we should help each other, you know, on anything we do, you know, if you, and sometimes if you see something is wrong, just, you know, you need another secondary opinion always, you know, even a home, like a customer or a home builder, if you see your tower does something wrong, ask. It just always ask.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's it so doesn't good. Cost anything to ask.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast, Mayan.
Thank you, Luke.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
Oh, yeah. You too. Bye.
All right, tile friends. I know you enjoyed that episode. I know I sure did myself. I want to remind you, if you need a website, head over to happytileguy.com and you can get started with a Happy Tile Guy website, created for tile contractors by tile contractors. All right, that's it for this week. Remember, stay profitable out there, tile friends. Talk to you next week.